We're going to continue in our Luke series. We're in Luke chapter 4. You know, one of the things that's challenging about doing a verse-by-verse study, you don't get to skip the hard verses. I have been so challenged of how to talk about Luke chapter 4, specifically the testing of Satan on Jesus. And because there are certain things that are just clear in Scripture that cause us to wrestle, even though it's you can't argue with what it says, but you just begin to wrestle because of all the implications of what it says. And so I'm asking the Lord to help me today. Lord, I pray that you would help me with the wrestle. And I pray that we'd be okay with a little bit of wrestle this morning as we read what the Scriptures clearly say and what they clearly imply about darkness and about satanic activity and how to respond to it. So Lord, help us. And bring us into understanding and truth that causes our hearts to respond in faith and in clarity and love in all seasons. Amen. All right, so here it is. It's Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Super challenging two verses here. We're going to read them together. Put them up on the screen if you wouldn't mind. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. All right. So many scriptures on this. I have cross-referenced this, looked at it. The language is clear that Jesus comes out of the baptism scene, right? We just did the baptism scene. He comes up out of the water. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord proclaims his proud Father, I'm pleased with you. You are my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now here's the leading of the Spirit. I want you to go and suffer for 40 days. I'm going to give Satan access to test you, and you have done nothing wrong. You haven't opened a wrong satanic door. My love, my pride is on you. I am so pleased with what you're doing, and I'm going to give Satan access to you for 40 days. And we go, what? Right? What? There's no other way to read it. Led by the Spirit, let's look at this. Look at the second paragraph here. This particular leading of the Spirit was specifically for testing and trial. This was not a leading to the rest of still waters and green pastures, which he does. This was a leading to suffering and trial and testing. Many times when we're in trials or testing, we believe that it's a result of our disobedience, from drifting from God's leadership. And we find ourselves asking, where are you, God? Here, the perfect, sinless Son of God, filled with the Spirit, it says, freshly filled with power, and under the leadership of the Lord, he's right in God's will, was sent into the depths of satanic testing and trial under the banner and identity as the beloved Son. So he goes in there under this banner, I'm the beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. He's not going in under the banner of, I have been disobedient and I need correction. He is the beloved Son who's perfectly in God's will, and God's will for that moment is satanic testing. Now that jacks with so much right now in my mind, in my heart. Other scriptures, other things that I know about deliverance and how to war against darkness, all of those things. But you can't disconnect. You can't just wish this passage away. And again, when we're doing a verse-by-verse study, wouldn't it be nice if we could just skip it? But we're doing a verse-by-verse study, and I don't believe we're supposed to skip it. We're supposed to understand something here, see something about the Lord. Because what is happening right now is Jesus is living life as a sympathetic high priest for our sake, so that when we're faced with the same thing, we have a sympathetic high priest. Right? Now, I want to be clear about this idea of being led by the Spirit or full of the Spirit. Real quick, little side note, and something that will also challenge you a little bit. Look at paragraph number one here. There's two different Greek words associated with the idea of being filled with the Spirit. So when it says full of the Spirit or filled with the Spirit or they were filled with the Spirit, that sort of thing, there's two different words. One speaks of a static or a permanent reality. You've been filled with the Spirit permanently. He dwells inside of you. And the other is a temporary filling for a specific assignment, that once the assignment is done, that filling or that ability or leadership goes away because you've completed the assignment. Okay? This means that Jesus, the word that's used here is the unique one. And here's a little bit of interesting thing, especially in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is clear that every time Jesus was filled with the Spirit or was under the leadership of the Spirit, it was the temporary word. In other words, it means this, that Jesus emptied himself of the internal dwelling of the Spirit on purpose and leaned solely upon the spontaneous action of the Spirit in his life for every assignment, for every miracle. And so, here, the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, it's a temporary word, he was filled with the Spirit for the assignment of going into the wilderness and to battle Satan. Jesus was tempted for the entire 40 days with increased suffering. That's the idea here. That for the whole 40 days he was being tested. Now we get three examples of the testing that happens to him. And I believe what's happening here is Luke is giving the main summary or the focal points of that attack. But all 40 days, not only was he led to fast, but he was placed there by the Lord. And then the Lord gave Satan access to attack him. The threefold test. The text here in other places is clear that God will, in certain seasons, allow Satan to test our faith. The passage is clear. And there's other ones just like it. There are some who will teach that all satanic activity is illegal, an infringement upon God's people, or that satanic activity is only a result that we give him access through disobedience or unbelief. It's simply not true. Now, does that happen? Absolutely it does. You can, through your disobedience, through your actions, through your thought life, buying into lies, you can open door to satanic activity. You can. So I'm not saying that's wrong to teach, but I am saying it's wrong to teach that's the only way it happens. I'm also saying it's wrong to teach that any satanic activity in your life is illegal. Okay? Some of it is God-willed, and we just get to wrestle with that. Now, I'm going to read you a few passages here that'll, along with this one, cause you to wrestle. You definitely can't argue with Luke 4. He's not disobedient. Amen? He's sinless, right? Sinless, perfect Son of God. God's perfect will for him is to be tested in the desert for 40 days. Look at a couple more here. The Genesis fall. How many of you guys know the Genesis? The satanic activity in the garden was pre-fall. You guys put that together? That Satan was in the garden tempting Adam and Eve pre-fall. And it was their failure of that test that caused the fall. Let's look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. This one just like, what? How many of you guys think Paul had pretty great faith? He wrote about faith quite a bit, didn't he? Right? If there, and he's this example of miracles and power and healings, and he raised the dead. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Because of the extraordinary greatness of the revelations. Paul's talking about his assignment and the revelation that he had, the job description that he had, and the grace that was upon him, the understanding that he had. He says, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me. You might want to underline that part. A thorn in the flesh. What was that thorn in the flesh? A messenger from Satan to torment me. Was given to me. Who gave it to him? God did. That's what it says. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I asked the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. Why? Because God was the one responding. He's asking God. He's not rebuking Satan, is he? He's saying, Lord, would you lift this from me? My guess is he had rebuked it and rebuked it and rebuked it, and it wasn't working. And he's like, Lord, what is happening? Because Paul's cast out demons, hasn't he? He knows how to do that. He's done it with power. And so he's wrestling with this. He can't cast it out. And he says, Lord, let it leave me because all I have left is you're allowing this. And the Lord says, I am. He says, so that you stay humble. You need this, Paul. I know your heart. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ would dwell in me. Now, this is totally anti most of our responses to a satanic attack. And what Paul does here is he goes, when Satan then, when this messenger, this thorn in my flesh attacks me, I do what? Thank God and rejoice. That's what he says. Because I believe in God's leadership, and if he says, this is what I need right now, this is what I need right now. I don't like it, but I'm going to rejoice that God has my heart and praise God. Like he's saying, if I don't bring this, Paul, you will fall away in pride. And Paul says, for that reason, he's not happy, but he sees the great picture, and he goes, okay, I rejoice in God's leadership, and I boast in his work in my life. Therefore, I delight in weakness and in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties on behalf of Christ, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Revelation chapter 2. This one will get you. Revelation chapter 2. Jesus is addressing 7 churches. Almost all of them, he says, this is what I have against you. You're doing this. You've opened this door. You're in sin in this area. To the church of Smyrna, he says this. I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty. I know the blasphemy of those who say you're Jew. They say they're Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw you into prison so that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What did the church of Smyrna do wrong to deserve this satanic throwing in prison unto death? He had nothing against them. He doesn't start out, this I have against you, and if you don't turn, therefore I'm going to send Satan. He doesn't do that. He goes, you've been faithful. I know your tribulation. I know your works. I know your poverty. And this one final thing, I'm going to bring your heart to the pinnacle that you can have in this life, and I'm going to allow Satan to attack you unto death. Stay steady. And I will give you the crown of life. I mean, what are you, here's, the prophet comes in. I have the word of the Lord. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, because God's giving Satan access to your life. Let's pray over this guy. Wait a minute. Again, I paint this picture because I want you to feel that pendulum swing. I want you to wrestle here. Because it's just not as cut and dry as we'd like it to be. It's not as easy as every single suffering and every single satanic attack is illegal in our life. It's not as black and white as that. It's God who knows what's best for us, allows all sorts of trouble. Some of it's from fallen man. Some of it's from Satan illegally. Some of it's God ordained. And we don't just get to, you know, in the name of Jesus, everything away, because it's Jesus who's doing it. It's so we want to be careful here about what we, how we gauge this, because gang, when, let's say, if the Lord led Paul into this season and said, thorn in the flesh is from me, you need to endure it, it's for your good, and Paul said no. Or if Jesus would have said no in this moment, he would have been outside of God's will, he would have been not in participation with the leadership of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. So if you build a theology where that can't even exist for you, then you can't be in God's will in that season. That's a problem. How many of you guys want to be in God's will all the time? I do. Let's go ahead and flip the page. Now, here's a few things that I'll say. Even though God might allow Satan's activity or his testing in your life, does it? Here's the way you need to receive it, that he's always a liar, and he's always wanting you to do something that is wrong. So because God might allow satanic, you're never to give in to it, ever. Ever. Amen? So that's not our posture. Well, the Lord's allowing it, so I'm just going to, whatever. The Lord's allowing it for what? For a testing of your heart, for a shoring up, for a place where you're leaning upon him more than you were. Now, here's another principle about what we know about satanic testing, and I didn't put the verse in there. He doesn't do it unless you're ready to pass the test. Right? It's still a test, but he doesn't do it unless you're ready to pass it. It says that he doesn't bring temptation beyond what we're able. And in the context, it's talking about all sorts of temptation, but satanic is one of them. And here's another thing, that he gives power to overcome it. He's going to bring it in such a way where you're able to overcome it because he's going to empower you to do it, that you can't do it on your own. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was ready for it. And he does it for your benefit every single time. This is the reality and the beauty. Romans 8, just real quickly. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 29. For those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed into the image of his son. So that he foreknew you, and he says, here's your destiny. I'm going to put the very image of my son's love and his knowledge of who God is, the relationship that he has with me, I am going to conform you into that very image. So Paul starts with this. This is where we're going, to the heights of love. To the heights of relationship, to the depths of love for God and love on the inside. He says, for those that he predestined to this, he called to this. He justified them. He glorified them. So what shall we say to trouble? Is what he says. Because he talks about it earlier, these pullings, this trouble, the suffering. He says, what shall we say? We'll say this. If God is for us, to bring us into the depths, then who can stop it? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justified. He is the one who condemns. Jesus Christ is he who died, but rather was raised, who is the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Now this, what Paul does here is amazing, is he says, here's the golden rule. Here's how you field suffering of any kind. You know that the Lord's destiny for you is the fullness. And we know that what he subjected his son to was suffering unto death. And in that context, it was at satanic hands, the suffering and death of Jesus. And he says, what did he do with that? What did he do with that? He subjected his son to suffering unto death, but what came out of it? The resurrection, the life for a whole world. He said, so how much more or in kind can God use the suffering in your life to bring you to the heights? So what shall separate us from this reality? What will stop us from going to the pinnacle? Will it be tribulation or trouble, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? For it's written, for your sake, O Lord, we're killed all day long because we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Psalm 44 is what he quotes. Now, Psalm 44 is a psalm where the singer is singing about all these troubles they've endured. And he said, some of these troubles have been because we've been boneheads. How many of you guys have those kind of troubles? Some of these troubles is because someone else was a bonehead and I didn't do anything wrong. Yep. Some of these troubles were God-willed. And then, this is the verse. Psalm 44 here. And he says, for your sake, or in other words, according to your will, O God, you caused us to be killed all day long and were regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. You put us in the position like this so that you would keep our hearts in the right place. That's Psalm 44. Because you know our frame. He says, so even if you find yourself in Psalm 44, in the will of the Lord for a season of suffering, possibly even unto death. In all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. In other words, no matter what gets thrown your way, him who loves you has positioned you to overcome it, that it causes beauty and love to flow out of you. That's what it means, that right, the satanic test is for us to screw up and fall and to give in to sin. That's the test. But he says, God's going to make sure that in the satanic test, as you overcome, this thing that was meant for darkness actually propels you into more glory. For I'm convinced of this. I love that. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. There he's talking about demonic things. Nor things present, nor things to come. Some people are terrified of the great tribulation the Bible talks about, a thing to come. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now what he does, he just circled back to the conformed into his image. That's what he just did there. He goes, nothing can separate us from this reality, from God forming love in us and conforming into the very love, look at what it says, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, conformed into his image, where he started. It's this glorious reality that we respond. So what I'm saying is, satanic attack comes. We know the first step of that. I say no to it in Jesus' name. I bind you, Satan. I command you to go. It's not working. We look, say, well, if we give an access, do I have a door open here? What's going on? There's no open doors. We pray to the Lord, Lord, take this. And he says no. We don't get discouraged and question his good for us in that moment. Or question our faith or any of that. We submit and say, Lord, if you say this is what I need to bring me higher, I say amen. And I'm going to fight this until love is perfected in me. You know the timing. And when I'm there, you'll make it go away. We press in. Well, there's a challenging passage there, and that's my take on it. Luke chapter 4, that Jesus was led by the Spirit for a season of satanic testing and trial. Let's look at how it came. Luke sums it up in three different kind of categories. The first one, Satan says, Son of man, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, You shall not live on bread alone. The original language here is actually not asking Jesus to prove his identity as the divine Son, but rather because of it. In other words, Satan is saying, Hey, you are God's Son. Why are you starving? That's what he's saying. He says, what kind of father would have you do this? Does that sound like a satanic lie? How many of you guys had that? Trouble comes and Satan goes, is he really good? Does he really love you? That's exactly what's happening right now. He's saying, if he wants the bet, why is he starving? Why would he do this? Tell these stones to become bread. You're a child of God. Jesus says, I refuse to live on bread alone. And if he says that I need this in my life, I'm pressing in to fasting and no bread. Next challenge here is he says, I want you to worship me and take possession of the world. How many of you know this is absolutely in line with who Jesus is? He is to take possession of the world, every kingdom. It's his right. He's going to come and rule the earth. Every nation's going to bow to him. And Satan goes, you know this is who you are. Why don't you do it? Jesus says, get behind me. So Satan's here is after timing and destiny. And he says, it's your destiny to be this. Why don't you just take it? Why are you waiting? You've got this power. You've got it in your own personal identity and makeup. You've got the ability. You know it's where you're going. Why don't you kick that door open? And Jesus says this. You shall worship and serve God and God alone. In other words, I choose to trust in my Father's perfect will, his timing, and his process to inherit. That's a hard one to do sometimes. How many of you guys know? Probably some of you have been there. You know your destiny in the Lord. Prophetic words may be spoken over you. You know what you're supposed to step into. And it's all there, the skill, the anointing, the accolades. They want you in that position. You know you're supposed to eventually be there, but the timing's wrong. You ask the Lord about it. He says, no. I actually want you to stay in obscurity over here in this, you know, this place of training still. And you're like, well, I think I'm kind of ready. No, you're not ready. Jesus says, that is mine. And I'm confident my Father's going to give it to me, but now's not the time. This last one, throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. The angels will bear you up. In this temptation, Satan is saying, why don't you are going to have to go through so much? And the God's promise is he's not going to let you suffer. He's going to bear you up because it's not time for you to die. So, but here's the thing, Jesus. We're on day 40. You're starving to death. The Lord's led you into this. I'm not sure that he's going to come through for you before you need him to. It looks to me like you need him to come through for you right now. You're starving to death. You're still in the, I don't know if he told Jesus it was going to be 40 days or he just led him into the season. Right? How many of you guys have just been led into a season? You don't know when it's going to end, right? Maybe it was that. I don't know. But here's the thing that he's saying is, he said he was going to do this. You're at the pinnacle of suffering. You should demand it. Jesus says this. He quotes Deuteronomy 6:16. And he says, you shall not test or tempt the Lord. Now, what he quotes here is Psalm 6:16, which is when Moses is telling the people, don't do what you did in the wilderness when you demanded God to give you water. Now, the story goes like this, that they've seen all sorts of miracles, and there's been times when they've needed water, and the Lord told them to strike the rock, and they got water. They come to another spot, and they're thirsty again. And they say to Moses, Moses, hit the rock for us. We're thirsty. And Moses says, God hasn't told me to hit the rock. Yeah, but he gives us water every time. We need water right now. Just, my wife says we need water right now. Or my husband. The pressures of, right? Says, no, my kids, look at them. There's animals. We need water now. And Moses says, he hasn't said hit it. We need to trust him. Maybe we're supposed to do this on our own now. Come on. Let's look at the end of the story here. Exodus 17. Moses named the place Manasseh, Exodus 17:7, and Meribah, because of the quarreled sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is he really with us or not? He's always with them, isn't he? The whole proof is that he brought them out of the wilderness, brought them out of Egypt, split the Red Sea. He's been providing for them, but they find themselves again in this season where it looks like the provision's not there. And they are suffering, and they say, we demand it on our timing and on, you know, because we, you know, kind of on our control kind of a thing. And Moses says, don't ever ask that question. Is God with us or not? Don't demand that he proves that he's with you. That is a mockery of who he is. How many of you guys know he is faithful always? The Bible doesn't split. He's always with us. We're breathing right now because he's giving us air to breathe, right? So to question this, it's just an insult to the Lord. It's a mockery. And he says, rather, you trust in his leadership. And this is what Jesus, how he replies. He says, I will not put my Lord, my God, to the test. He'll bring me water when I need it. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him for an opportune time. In other words, he passed the test. Season was over. Tough season. He didn't do anything wrong. He did everything right. And in God's perfect timing and will, he said, this is what you need right now to prepare you for the next step. And that season was difficult and hard. I can't imagine. We just did a 40-day fast. I was feeling about turning stones to bread at about 10 days. Right? He passes the test, and he emerges. This is the beautiful part. What's it say? The next verse. Jesus returned to Galilee, totally exhausted, totally worn out from the fight, needing a week of recovery. Is that what it says? Let's put up Luke 4:14. Yeah, there it is. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. In other words, Romans 8, this challenge came, and it actually propelled him now. Now, through this season of testing, what does he begin to do? Cast out devils and heal people's bodies. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Right? This season, though it seems so diminishing in the flesh, was actually all about spiritual power. Getting his heart totally dependent on his Father's will and timing and strategy. Jesus returned to Galilee and the power of the Spirit. News about him spread through all the surrounding region. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. Well, I'm going to let you read the rest on your own. I'll have Erica come on up. I encourage you to read. Obviously, we're reading a chapter a week as a church. I want you to read the next section where he's rejected by his own because of familiarity. There's some really good things there that'll probably apply to your heart and your life. I know that when I wrote the notes, it did to mine. Luke says he writes his gospel. He wrote what he wrote so that our hearts could be shored up, solid. Now, he wrote this about Jesus' time in the wilderness so our hearts could be shored up and solid in our faith. And I pray for that. I want you guys to stand as Erica begins to play. I find it interesting the prophetic word that was brought this morning, right? In a season of challenge, in a season of difficulty, in a season where your faith is being tested. I just want to proclaim God's love, God's nearness, God's involvement over your life. In every season of the soul. In every season you've had in your past, in every season that's coming in your future, there was never a time when God wasn't there. There was never a time when he wasn't for you to come to the fullness of love. And sometimes you failed the test. And God, in his mercy, in his goodness, restores you, builds you up, and then tests it again. and you come out of that, here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Paul says, Jesus says, the Psalms say, God says over you that every single season, every trial, every test, every suffering in your life, you can overcome it through His power and come out victorious. And Paul says this, that even if you don't pass the test sometimes, God in His mercy doesn't stop with your destiny of conforming you to the image of Christ. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I just want to encourage hearts. Lord, would you encourage hearts right now? I feel like some of you, just I want you to take a minute. Some of you, the Lord's actually whispering about a season from your past and your attitude towards it or the way that you viewed it, and you've got some wrong ideas. I feel like the Lord wants to correct some of those. I feel like there's a few of you have an accusation that trouble, certain suffering in your past was because of you, your fault. You did something wrong. And that shame has caused so much destruction in your heart. Lord, I ask that if anybody in this room has misunderstood a season of trouble in their life, had responded to it wrongly, has blamed themselves, would you bring healing? But I pray that there'd be a lifting up of spirits today, of eyes today, of hearts today, that no matter what comes our way, whether it's unsolicited, solicited, whether it's us doing something wrong, whether it's someone else doing something wrong, that in every season we can be propelled into the depths of faithfulness and love because of your perfect leadership, God. And we ask that you would walk with that, I have this confidence today, no matter what is coming, no matter what is current. I'm an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Well, amen.